if you were to reduce it to a sentence, the customer value proposition of this company is that we have the ability, both directly and with our partners, our direct partners obviously of the world, to implement network platforms and applications in a multi-vendor or heterogeneous environment more quickly and more cost-effectively than anyone else in the industry. Our investment streams and our needs, in fact, in each of our business units, to drive that forward, to enhance that, to strengthen that. And that's the theme of this company. Activities that do not support that in a significant way are not good candidates for investment, let me say, going forward. So I think our current strategy and plan is quite clear. Perhaps we could do a better job of articulating it or talking to it or whatever. But I think that one of the things that's now and then perhaps a disappointment to people like yourself is that we don't disclose enough of the future elements to it. In some cases, that may be because those future elements are under discussion, as you alluded to earlier, internally. In other cases, because it's not to our advantage to show our hand until we're ready to show it. And again, I came back to my point earlier, it's working. There's demonstrable evidence that it's working. And we're beginning to strengthen our position, strengthen our support system behind it.
The risk of sort of pursuing this a little bit further, and this was on the front page of last year's annual report, and I read that to a few people when I talked to them, and the reactions range from, I don't really understand what that means, to bullshit, if you excuse the expression, to, yeah, that sort of makes sense, you know. So it was this kind of a broad range, and I don't quite understand, you know, is there some way to sort of make it clearer to a broader audience, you know, people like me, the top management of companies who don't really say, you know, they, well, Hewlett Packard, yeah, they're really good at printers, and they, you know, IBM, they're really good at mainframe. And digital, yeah, they used to be good at faxes, but what do they do now? You know, what does that mean? What is, what, you know, how can you sort of project, you know, obviously a lot of technical skills in the company and a lot of, you know, great people and, you know, great products, but, you know, somehow there's a sort of mass out there. Everybody says, well, yeah, they're moving on networks, they're sort of doing a lot of this alpha server, but I don't quite understand how this all fits together and what they're going to do for me or why they're any better than Cisco or Arthur Anderson or, you know, IBM or, you know, whoever. I'm just sort of playing back to you some of the stuff that I hear out in the industry. I'm just, what is the answer? What's the...
I hear it again, too. I could, at the risk of sounding defensive, I don't like to sound that way. I could ask you what you think that is with your packet. And my guess is that there's a one-hour answer to that question that's reasonably clear. But there's a high-level paragraph or sentence to answer that question that's pretty high-level. It's, you know, it's at 50,000 feet, and perhaps not as clear as the one-hour answer is. As you know, you talked to Cisco, you mentioned Cisco, you mentioned Compaq earlier. This industry has significantly disaggregated over the last decade or so. And accordingly, we are speaking of that, another crop, we are a disaggregated company. We have a number of businesses internally, it's been the 9 business units, and it's appropriate to take our network products and talk to that relative to Cisco. And we have a very clear strategy, one that is not only clear, but as I said earlier, leadership, no question. And I think I can walk through each one of these and be reasonably clear, despite my job function being something else other than being clear on technical strategy and product strategy. Stitching it together is the question. Let me try to paint a different picture in terms of stitching it together, in terms of what it may represent in a picture, if you'd like. Would that be helpful?
Okay. Yeah, yeah, so
might be helpful. We'll see what's on it. The
sounds
client server distributed computing. The hub server capability. Alpha-based, 64-bit alpha-based capability from a platform, a server platform that can drive three of the the most prominent and effective operating systems in the industry. BMS speaks for itself, OpenBMS, second largest installed base in the industry, non-Intel based installed base. Unix, digital Unix, we talked about that earlier, so I wanted to be best in. And the emerging Windows and P. So one platform, you as a client, you invest in one platform, you provide any of the three from that environment. Networks, both at the product level, hubs, switches, routers, integrated in a modular fashion, in a capability that that is unique in the industry, and also very open, consistent with our open, heterogeneous, open multi-vendor concept market. Network integration capability that is pillar leadership in the industry, in terms of its capability, but also its reach, its physical presence in countries around the world. Systems integration capability, the same ability to put it together. Now let me layer over all of that, before I layer over that, I mean, another point to desktop capability. I talked about the client server theme. Desktop capability, obviously strong in PCs and strengthening, as well as in workstations. And I will lay over all of that, the multi-vendor capability of the company, both the remedial service, as well as integration services. I said differently, the ability to stitch it all together, to make it work more effectively and more cost-effectively than the industry. And incidentally, if you're too busy doing other things, which is more suitable to your business, and you don't want to run it, we'll do that for you too. And again, the uniqueness there in terms of theme is the multi-vendor or heterogeneous characteristics of our offer. Now, when you take that back to the company's business profile or portfolio or the company's investment portfolio, the thrust of that investment in business is on those key characteristics. So, I keep challenging our marketing people to draw a picture that shows that, perhaps with some overlays, because I think we can serve ourselves well. I mean, there are three or four key themes there. And obviously, I emphasize our leadership in those themes, and also investing. That's a story that's working, and one that's key to our success today.
Yeah, I just wonder if it's a communication problem more than, partly maybe you haven't finalized what the focus is, and partly maybe you're just not communicating right where you're going.
I think we can communicate more effectively. I suspect that you're asking 10 people that question, maybe getting 10 different answers as well.
What does that mean?
This question of are you communicating better or not? I mean, that's a kind of a judgment. It's complicated to communicate. I think if you compare it again to a bunch of competitors, if you ask the CEO or chairman of IBM for that sentence, so what the company stands for on that paragraph, I think they'll have difficulty with it. Or it'll be at such a high level that you'll need a sit for an hour with a few pictures. Would be my guess. What do you think?
It's possible. I've never sat down with him. Although he was famous for saying the company doesn't need a strategy. As you know.
You mentioned, when you mentioned your packet, you mentioned Prince. That might fit into my description of the package strategy, but it would come towards the end of my statement, not the beginning. My guess is that in that case, you had difficulty capturing, because they're in a number of very different businesses, not to mention the medical instrumentation business. Difficulty capturing. I don't mean to sound defensive. It is complicated. It's difficult to do. It's clear to us, and as you pointed out yourself, it's been out there for about a year. What it is at the top level, the 50,000 foot level, and I stated that earlier, it's clear to us that it's working and beginning to work better and better as time goes on. It's clear to us that we need to improve in a number of areas, and one of those is communications, and it's also clear to us that there's a number of elements to that plan and strategy that we haven't disclosed yet, but we will at the appropriate time. Gave a few data points in the recent past. Obviously, those were things that we didn't invent that day. They've been in the way for quite some time. And likewise, there are dozens of those things that are underway today that will be disclosed at the appropriate time that, that strengthen the picture and make it more compelling.
Let me ask you two more questions, if you don't mind. We'll finish
actually
up.
If you do that, it's going to make both of you late for your next appointment. So
compromise, make it one if it's the easiest.
There we go.
Well, one of them is very quick, and then I'll ask the some larger one. One, there's a rumor out, maybe stronger than a rumor, that some of the profits in the last quarter were sort of currency trading related. In other words, treasury profits. Is that true? False?
False.
False.
I have stated publicly and recorded and also in our financial conference call with the analysts that that currency had a marginal favorable impact in the March quarter on this company.
Currency translation of revenues and profits?
At the proper level. And basically immaterial, as it was.
Are we talking about currency sort of forward contracts, that sort of thing? Or
I'm talking about the currency impact to the company's earnings in the March quarter.
So separate from treasury activities?
In terms of treasury activities, program there is quite straightforward on currency options. We have the company protected on the downside. There's nothing underlying extraordinary there. So we have forward contracts on our balance sheet, but we hedge our net monetary assets and balance sheet 3 to 6 months. It kind of buys you a little time to react in the business. But nothing again underlying normal sort of stuff. It's all disclosed in our quarterly 10-Q. The key question that comes up is not only with our company but with other companies I follow in our industry around the currency question is how much of the improvement has been currency versus operations. And in that regard, I can't say currency had no impact. There's an impact on the business every day in every country, obviously. But when you net it all out, it was not material in terms of the company's performance, bottom line, profit performance.
So if currency turns around a little bit, or significant amount.
It could go the other way, and that's sure. It's helping a bit now, and it could be hurting a bit under those circumstances, no question. But this is something we're dealing with for 37 years, and we'll deal with it in years ahead. If it has a major impact, negative or positive, our track record is that we've been quite forthcoming in terms of that that phenomenon.
One final question. Is there, presumably you sleep well, but if you ever do wake up in the middle of the night, anything that sort of looming out there that worries you? In other words, what's your biggest fear?
I sleep well.
If you didn't, let's pretend.
What are some of the major challenges we have moving forward? I would say that one of them is complacency. We've had a very intense program underway, and it's still underway throughout the company now for, again, like we referred to the Palmer era, the last 2+ years. As the evidence builds that the company is improving and you're turning the corner, it's a challenge to keep us focused throughout the enterprise. I'm not talking about the senior management, I'm talking about operating behavior in the front line, so to speak. Attention to the details. That's one. It's appropriate for my job function as well to be concerned about that, of course. The role that I play in the company to keep people focused on these aspects. The competitive situation. It's very, very competitive today. Tough to predict. Our hand is strong and strengthening. And if that continues, we'll continue to grow and improve. It's tough to predict.
In terms of what your competitors are going to do?
Exactly. We think that the program that we have is reasonably confident that that will continue to maintain, if not strengthen that. That's something that all executives worry about. They have trouble mapping or sleeping. I'm sure that's one of the reasons. Our European business is doing well. Needs to do better. We have been still improving. It's on a good track record, but needs to do better. It's half of our business. And we have been somewhat preoccupied in a couple of major markets of Europe with labor matters, if you would, as you may know. And, we're coming out of that. That's largely behind us, but we've lost some time here. Getting our European business on the right plane. It's on the right vector now, but we need to get on the right plane. Is a major opportunity for the company. I don't worry about that. Moving there faster than part of it. Those are a few. The management team, I think, is doing well. It's working well together. It's dealing with the right issues. They're having the right impact. The organization for Ireland and so on is improving. So those will be the major two or three that we come to mind. Thank you
very much.
I don't think so. I mean, I can hear you fine, but I'm not sure the telephone audience can pick you up.
You know, this is Sidney Johnston. Oh, I can hear it coming back now.
Hi, Sid.
I'm in the patent law group. The issue that I haven't heard discussed today so far is the digital from the point of view of the customers. One issue raised by people who write on business management is that a company should be the easiest company in its industry to do business with. And we might guess that we're now working for the hardest company in the computer industry to do business with. I wonder if that issue is going to be addressed.
In the past, in the old digital, if you will, besides having this academic approach to the business world, we also had products, because they were proprietary and because we focused on this creativity, that were solely needed by customers. And customers would beat a path to our door. It was clearly a less competitive world. And the company never had to pay attention to being easy to do business with. So if we dropped off the PDP 11 on a Sunday morning at the person's back door and didn't tell them about it, I mean, that was just fine. And it could have been 3 months late, but they were happy to have it. So clearly, the world has changed. It's a competitive world, and people aren't beating the path to our door as they used to. So we have to become more customer friendly. Some of the things that I mentioned about where the law department can support the company, or one of the things I mentioned about where the law department can support the company, is in streamlining processes and simplifying agreements. So to streamline the customer engagement process is a priority of the company, and to streamline and simplify its agreements is a priority for the company. As we go more to channels, and clearly the thrust is in that direction, in many ways it will remove us from a number of customers, and the distributor will be in charge of the customer's hand-holding. And distributors are normally a little bit better than that than manufacturers. So I expect we'll learn from those distributors. It's an area that we have to improve in.
Thank you, Tom.
As
a short follow-up, a personal experience has been that I was interested in the possibility of purchasing a network for sort of an off-duty activity that I have. Say for about 50 customers, 50 terminals. And there's apparently no literature from digital that is a kit that you could look at, estimate prices, and possibly order from. You have to contact a digital sales rep and get him to spec it out for you. That seems to be a very high cost of doing sales.
Oh, it probably is. And in the future, digital would refer you to a distributor who knows how to smile and is customer friendly and understands your needs and will provide you as a customer with what you need. But today the organization isn't focused on if you will, the individual or the small the small business. The small business market in the computer industry has grown at a higher level, faster in recent years than the market selling to large customers. And the only way digital is going to reach customers of that ilk and serve needs like you suggest is through distributors. In the meantime, we would love to sell you something, Sid. And I'll find you a salesperson.
Good.
Thank you. Any other questions in the room? Let me address some of the questions that have been submitted in advance. I think to a great extent, what was on people's mind recently, a while ago when the questions were submitted, are the same things that we've talked about in the room this morning. One question says, what is the true position of the company following the Q3 loss in terms of cash position? I think I answered that. Stopping the losses in sales and revenues? I answered that. You know, that's better focusing. Indirect channels. And senior management changes. So I think what I have not answered is, what is the position of the company following the Q3 loss in terms of senior management changes? There's probably a reason this question was submitted anonymously in writing. Let me first say that I think I'm a member of senior management, and I am not responsible for the breakdown in the forecasting system in Q3. I am unequivocal on that. Bob works for the board of directors, and the rest of the senior management team works for Bob. Both Bob and the board understand that the problems are difficult, the problems are complicated, and it'll take some time. What Bob expects of his team and what the board expects of Bob is to show progress. So Bob does have the confidence of the board of directors, and he has confidence in his senior management team as a whole. Now, there may be changes. You know, the good news is when you arrive at a high level in the company, in any company, you've become a success. Okay? And supposedly, at least people think that you make a lot of money, and some people do make a lot of money. But there is an uncertainty, a risk that goes into any of these senior level positions. And if you look at any industry, it's the case. So the security that people normally expect senior management to have really doesn't exist, and changes happen all the time. So I would not be at all surprised. In fact, it would be typical for Bob to make changes in his senior management team. On the other hand, I do believe that as a group, he has confidence in the team. Well, that was one question. Another question, previously submitted. Have investors in the digital board of directors lost faith in digital senior leadership? Well, I answer that question with respect to the board. With respect to investors, the fact that the stock is selling at $20 a share clearly shows that investors do not have a large amount of faith in digital senior leadership. But it is not really as bad as it would appear on, you know, on first blush, in that a number of analysts have recommended the stock now as a buy. And don't forget, Wall Street, more than anything else, dislikes uncertainty, dislikes surprises. And the fact that we were so surprised. We, the company, were so surprised, and as a result, they were so surprised of the loss in Q3. Had a significant psychological effect. So as time goes on and the shock of the surprise wears off, I think there'll be more faith, more support from Wall Street. I'll go through the previously submitted questions. In the meantime, if anybody has any questions, either on the phone or in the room, please feel free to interrupt, and I'll take a question either here in the room or on the telephone. This is the third question. It says, how will the law department be impacted by the dramatic downsizing efforts under consideration? I think I answered that. Do large forecasts for headcount reduction include the thought that some parts of digital's businesses may be sold off? I answer that. The answer is yes. Which businesses is digital likely to stay in, or when will we know? I think that digital clearly will stay in at least some part of its core business, of the system business unit. And we may sell off, we may decide to disinvest, we may decide to do what they call end-of-life certain products in the portfolio. But clearly, basic systems is something that the company, has traditionally done. I mean, it's been the soul of the company. And I expect the company will stay there, even though we will revise the product portfolio and we will revise how we supply the products to the marketplace. This one I think I answered. Senior management has been working for several years to correct the inability of digital to forecast accurately and to build products so they are available on time. Has the board of directors given management a deadline? Well, I didn't answer the last part of it. No, the board has not given management a deadline to fix its forecasting system. As with a number of other thrusts, a number of other problems that have to be solved, people understand it'll take some time. And the bottom line is they expect to see progress on all fronts, including progress in our ability to forecast. But there's no deadline. Number five, it says, by some accounts, digital is worldwide number 7 in hardware sales, but number 4 in software sales. In light of the recent results, why doesn't the company and therefore the law department focus more on issues like software distribution, software protection, license strategies, license transfer? Since the software business is of such high importance for digital with high margins and low costs. Well, I don't think you can look at the company's businesses as being hardware business and software business as being, if you will, the basic classes. There are hardware products that have high margins. And there are hardware products that have low margins. And there are software products that have high margins, and there are software products that have low margins. So what the company has to do is to look at its products in total, hardware and software, and to look at the engineering developments we have going on in total, hardware and software, and decide where do we have the competitive advantage, where are we going to make money, and to divest in ones that don't have sufficient payback. But the cut isn't between hardware and software. The cut is on a more granular basis. For example, with Unix, we don't make a high margin because Unix, it takes so much engineering development to develop, to maintain, and so forth. Unix as an operating system is not a high return product for digital or any other company. In these difficult times, will the law department management be providing guidance or promoting discussion on what departures or relaxations from standard terms and policies can be justified in order to bring in the business? Well, I have indicated that we as a company should be taking more risk, and we as a law department should be counseling the company, counseling management, so that more risk is taken, intelligent risk, but more risk. So on the scale of being conservative and liberal in our advice, we clearly at this point should be more liberal. As far as standard contracts, mentioned standard terms and policies. Odd Fisher is leading an effort to revise the company's customer contracts to make them simpler, and we will probably take more risk in the document itself. And he will be also providing direction as to where particular terms can be negotiated, coming up with a set of standard, non-standard exceptions to our standard T's, and all of which is going to be in the direction of having Digital be a more flexible company and a company that accepts more risk. And Molly Brennan and John Crowley are leading a similar effort with our vendor contracts. It's a long question. Well, I'll just read it. In these desperate times, why are we not seeing mandates from senior management for serious cost-cutting in areas of discretionary spending? For example, a no-exception freeze on all travel which is not revenue-producing. We have had a share of those trips on our own department recently. A total freeze on tuition. We hear that it takes a long time to turn a ship around, but it can't help if people are filling it with water as you're navigating. This deserves an answer. I see the problem in the company is not really discretionary spending. I think we in the financial community rightly has bludgeoned the company into, for the most part, there are always exceptions, there are always abuses, but for the most part being fairly frugal. And the amount and the issue with our cost structure and the amount of money involved really is not going to be resolved by discretionary spending. We're not going to save our way out of our problem. We're going to have to make decisions. So we need to rationalize. We need to focus. We need to, you know, we need to streamline decision making, and you know, and taking the bus instead of the train because we save money isn't going to do it. On the other hand, we still should continue to be frugal, but we shouldn't confuse being frugal with a comprehensive solution to the company's problem. There's a comment in here that says, we have had our own share of these trips in our own department recently. Trips meaning non-revenue producing trips. I think that the company has to invest energy action on two fronts, on revenue producing, absolutely, but also on cost saving or efficiency. And where there is a need for the trip, even though it is not purely revenue producing, it may very well be justifiable in that it'll save the company money in the longer term. We have to continue to try to be more efficient, to try to be more productive, and sometimes that requires travel. With respect to the particular trips in the law department, every trip that I know about that has received my approval, which basically I think means been by one of my direct reports, I believe has been absolutely justified. And as a result of these trips, I mean, not only have I felt that the money was well spent, but I think the people involved, so the lawyers abroad that have been visited by some of the attorneys here, I think have felt that the trip has been worthwhile. I'll give you an example of what I believe to be a worthwhile trip, even though I'm not going to do it. But I was going to fly, my plans were to fly to Europe tonight and go to, and visit first Geneva. Now, one reason I was going to Geneva was to talk to Vincenzo Damiani about our Olivetti alliance, and I think that that's an important trip, even though it's not revenue generating. And I was also going to talk to Vincenzo to see if the law department network can be used in some way to his advantage as he grasped with trying to run a territory, a geographical organization where he's getting direction from various business units. So everything in Europe isn't under Vincenzo's absolute full control. And sometimes the decision-making runs into conflict, roadblock, and so forth. And I was going to, and I'll talk to Vincenzo about this on the telephone, but I was going to go and spend an hour with him, seeing if I could help him break the roadblocks that happen in large companies like Digital. And so I would believe that even though I'm not going to visit, I wasn't planning to visit any customers in Geneva, that that'd be a worthwhile trip. I think we have to remain frugal, but we have to expend money where it makes sense. Next question. We hear conflicting reports about Digital's plans to shrink wrap its software. Can you tell us the plan? The plan is a proposal, if you will. It's not set. We will simplify our software procedures to a great extent. That will involve more shrink wrap software. Obviously, most of our customers are large customers that have a general contract with us, a DBA, and they'll receive the software under the terms of the DBA. Where we don't have a DBA, for the most part, we will shrink wrap. But this is the direction we're going. All I can tell you, and I'm not sure when a particular program will be announced, but we are clearly, and this follows up from part of Sid's question here, we're clearly going to simplify our software practices. Will law department management be communicating with senior business managers about the effective use of legal resources? The answer is yes, the answer is we have, the answer is we have in the past, and it's ongoing. But the effective use of digital resources isn't going to get implemented by myself or Kerry Armstead or Gail Mann or anybody else talking to senior business managers. So we can talk in the abstract about the law department has to become more efficient. We can't service every initiative that goes on at the lower levels of the company, and the management will shake their head and say, absolutely, we want you to be efficient as well as good. But to a great extent, it's a little bit up in the air, because you can only really address these situations when specifics are presented. And how we do this has to be initiated first by the lawyers who tell the business people who come in that they don't have time or that this isn't at the top of their priorities, and that further work has to be done before it requires legal support and so forth. So each person has to manage this issue, looking at the work that's in that particular office. Now, what I will say is that if the lawyer of the law department professional makes the decision that the person who came in doesn't have a high priority, that the matter is not, you know, of enough importance, and the issue goes up to business management, I mean, we will support you. So we'll provide the groundwork. We've done that. We've told people about it. It really has to be worked on an individual basis in one's own practice, and you should be assured that if you work this, we will support you. As I said before, you know, client relations isn't having everybody always happy. Every client obviously happy. This one I answered. This is about, this one I was told not to answer. This is about the likelihood of Digital being acquired. Will the patent group continue in its current size given the results? First of all, the patent group is a cost-effective operation for the company. A year ago, if you remember, or just about a year ago, almost all of our patent prosecution work, our patent applications, were being done by outside counsel. And what the patent group did was to take all that work, almost all that work, inside and do it with inside people. And we saved a number of millions of dollars in doing that. $6 million in doing that. So that clearly is progress. It clearly is a good step. Now, the company continues to need a portfolio of patents. I mean, merely because Digital is not doing so well doesn't mean that other people that are having patents aren't going to come after you and say, pay us royalties, you're infringing our patents, and so forth. So we still need a portfolio of patents to trade with these other companies in a defensive posture. So that's in general on the patent group. In answer to the specific question, will the patent group continue at its current size given the results? I can't answer for the patent group any more than I can answer for any other entity in the other group in a lot of them. Time will tell. And my last question that was previously submitted says, would the law department consider moving to regional rather than country legal support? When will the transition begin in Europe? The answer is yes. The law department will consider moving to regional rather than country legal support if that's the best way to support the business. So the business organization has to drive how they're going to operate, and the law department will make sure that it can support what it finally determines its approach is going to be. When will the transition begin in Europe? Well, the digital population in Europe has been undergoing transition for some time, and it's continuing. If the question relates to just the law department, as I previously said, we'll let you know as soon as we can. That's the end of the submitted questions. I hope I answered them satisfactorily. If anybody who had submitted one of those questions wasn't fully pleased with the answer, please resubmit the question, and I'll try again at the next quarterly teleconference. Are there any questions on the telephone?
Mr. Siegman, there are no further questions from your dial-in participants at this time. Please continue.
Thank you. Are there any questions in the room? Any further questions? No further questions. Well, on that basis, I say thank you for coming. And I will see you again 3 months from now. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. You may all disconnect, and thank you for participating.